People of God, welcome to worship. This Christ candle has been lit for us, reminding us that Christ lives. Christ visits us even wherever two or three are gathered. It is my pleasure to welcome you to this service of worship. We express our gratitude to all those who are helping to lead us in worship, especially those who are providing testimony tonight, to Danielle, to Meg, and to Beth. Please don't forget that there is an ice cream treat with your name on it on the plaza outside of the chapel right after worship. We hope that you will join us as we extend our time of fellowship there. During the next few moments of reflection, you will hear a lovely melody which serves as the tune to the blessing which we will all sing together at the end of this service. You'll find the text of that on the reverse of your bulletin tonight. As you hear this tune, you are invited to read the words, associate the text with the tune, reflect upon that, meditate upon that text for you as you hear that tune played. Friends, again, welcome to worship.
Simone, and I'm the director here at River Road Preschool, and I'm very excited to have the opportunity to work with each of you and to get to know you in the years to come. Anna asked me to share with you my personal journey and the path I have taken in life, and I'm honored to do so tonight. And I'm going to take you all the way back to 1990 when I graduated from high school, and when I walked across the stage, it was with 59 other graduates. I'm from Wytheville, Virginia. And my superlative was the most likely to win a debate against Dan Quayle. So that was my senior superlative. As you might see, I did not take the direction of law after all and ended up instead going into early childhood education. In my second year of college, I eloped and moved to Germany with my high school sweetheart when he was sent there with the army. And there I had an opportunity. I worked at a guest house in the morning and taught English in the afternoons. And that's when I discovered that I liked to teach. And it was really neat to see the light bulbs go off, even with adults. So when we returned to the United States, I decided to change my focus. And I thought, I could still work with debate and forensics and all those fantastic things. And I will teach high schoolers. That's where I thought I was headed. Well, I did my senior year teaching at Monacan High School with seniors there, and every time I walked into the teacher's lounge, somebody asked me if I was in the wrong place. I was the same size as them, they were all bigger than me, and it just didn't really go well. So, round two of teaching certificate, and I went back and got my NK through 6 license and decided to work with little ones, which brought me to Good Shepherd Episcopal School, where I taught kindergarten in the morning and 8th graders in the afternoon. Many, many days, there were not that many differences between my kindergarten students and my 8th grade students, but it was really fun. And I had chosen to go to this school and to work with little ones thinking that I wanted to be a mom. Like everybody else in my 20s, I was thinking, this is going to be great, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom, and God had other things in mind for me. When we found out that we could not have children, I really dedicated my life to service and to working with children. I was allowed to start a community service program at Good Shepherd Episcopal School with middle school students. I taught 30 middle school students to Southwest Virginia to build a playground for children that did not have a playground. And I was telling Beth tonight when we were having dinner, I have very fond memories of this group of kids, and I took them to my home church, which I was raised Southern Baptist, and I took them to my home church, and they were sitting in the choir loft behind so that everyone could see them because they were going to share special music. And they weren't used, these little Episcopal children, to people shouting amen and raising the roof just a little bit. So all of their faces in shock and awe when that happened was just absolutely fabulous. But that community service love started for me then, and being able to give back to others. And it taught me that I was able to take the opportunity I had been given in a classroom and extend and extend and extend it. And I believe that that is what I was chosen to do with my life. When I moved from Good Shepherd to Chesterfield County Public Schools, and there I met one of my most favorite populations I will ever get to know, and that is the Head Start population. These are impoverished preschool children, and their parents want nothing but the best for them in life. And I was at Bensley Elementary, which is off Jeff Davis Turnpike. And there's actually, and this is really, really neat, there's a former River Road preschool teacher is the instructional assistant in my old classroom at Bensley. So that's neat to hear what's going on. But because I had worked at Good Shepherd before, I had amazing connections to bring to these families. We were able to build Easter baskets of food. We were able to find mattresses for families who didn't have mattresses. And that's just because God first placed me at Good Shepherd. And he gave me those resources that I had then to take with me, not into just the classroom, but to the trailer parks that these families lived in, to the apartments that they lived in, and extended on. I fell in love with the Hispanic population. I can remember a mama walking to have a conference with me and bringing me a cup of coffee. And that cup of coffee had walked a mile with her that she walked to have that conference. And I was like, it gave you a whole new realization of what those families wanted for those children. I made the mistake of telling mom that we were working on learning how to write our names, and the little fella's name was Juan, who had brought me in the coffee. And that child came back that next week to school, and he could write down Juan Hernandez Ramirez. He couldn't write just Juan. So that mama knew, and I had to learn to be very, very careful what Ms. Maestro said we were working on. So, you know, from now on it was the letter J. There I had the opportunity to be an inclusion teacher, and that means that exceptional children are allowed to join traditionally functioning children in the classroom. I had a legally blind child in my class. I had two autistic children in my class. The languages were fantastic. I didn't realize that there was more than one strand of Spanish till then. And I also had Farsi in my classroom. So just connecting all of those resources and helping those families to find resources. It was in that year that I had some of those special friends in my class that my husband died of a tragic accident. And I will never forget the mental health liaison. I had a child who was, had been abused, and a mental health liaison was coming into my classroom to work with the students in my classroom. And she said, Danielle, I'm not here to see them. I'm here to see you. And you need to take a break. And I apologize. Those Head Start students, they will still always mean the most to me. And I will retire back to that one day. But I was not a strong enough person at that time. I could not be what they needed me to be at that time. And about a year later, a very wonderful man entered my life that I married this May. I made him wait 8 years. And I'm sorry that he's not here to meet you this evening, but we adopted a kitty just a month ago. And Maurice has not had this long of a day yet, so that's where he is. And Chris also encouraged me at that time to maybe go beyond the classroom. And I couldn't be what I needed to be to those kids at that time. So an opportunity came up for me to go to West Hampton Day School, and that's where I went. And there I found out that a whole new perspective came to me, that not only could I be there for those kids, but wow, how many you could reach, because every single teacher I worked with was working with 15 kids. So it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger what we could do. And again, I went back to a population that was very fortunate who could help others. So then I was able to take the kindergarten students in my West Hampton class to deliver hats and gloves and mittens to those kids who were at Bensley. Because of the experience I had in Chesterfield, I felt very comfortable offering an inclusion environment at West Hampton. I went about it very backwards and very wrong, but we had a child who joined us at Twos who had a one-on-one aide with him. And so he was autistic, had an aide, and we said, hey, this is a pretty neat thing. We could do this. So then we started an inclusion classroom, and then we said there has to be a first step. And 2 years ago, I started a satellite campus that focused on specifically bringing together traditional learners and exceptional learners. And so there are two traditional classrooms, and behind them is the Faison Early Childhood Education Program, and we were allowed to merge those folks together. If I had not had that experience in Chesterfield, I would not have known that I could do that. I would not have had the comfort zone to tell parents, your kids are going to be okay in this environment. And what it has created is the most empathetic learners you will ever find. They are comfortable, they are accepting, and they know that God makes children in all forms and sizes because of that environment that they are in. From that, another opportunity arose, and I got a call from River Road to see if I might be interested in coming and joining here. And I have heard nothing but fabulous through the years things about all of the fantastic teachers that are here at River Road. When I was at West Hampton, I hadn't been able to spend quite as much time in the classroom as I had wanted to, and moving here would allow me to do that. But from what I see, I'm able to take the tools that I have, that I have built upon, to bring to this new environment and bring it with me. And because it has such an outstanding group of professional educators who are so, so dedicated, I'm thinking that one of my next charges that I'm gonna have is helping them to share what they do. Because these ladies are fantastic that are here in your school and bring years and years of experience. So now my job is to help them shine and to show others in the community what we are doing here at our preschool. Just this week I had an opportunity, well, it started last week, and then this morning we wrapped it up with a fabulous meeting. We have a child who has been identified with a processing disorder who's going to be in our JK class. And imagine the relief on that mom's face today when we were able to sit down with speech and an OT and the new JK teacher and said, we've got this, we've got a plan. And for the first time, mom was able to hear, we've got a plan. So those are the tools that we have in place to help. This year, we're gonna bring back a RAD conference. It's Richmond Area Directors, but we're gonna host a preschool conference here where 250 other preschool teachers are gonna get to meet our fantastic teachers and see some of the amazing things that we're doing, and they'll take it back into their community. So it just goes and it goes and it goes and it goes. And it wouldn't have gone anywhere if I had taken a different direction. So I feel very fortunate that I have been given the voice I have to share. And Beth Howe has joined me as the assistant director down in the office. And she was a friend before day one, I think. And Beth, on her first full day, even though she'd been here many days, gave me this beautiful, beautiful card from an artist she loves. And it says, we are called to share the light. And I am not that light. I am the candle. And every single experience I have had is that light. So I am beyond happy and pleased to hold that candle for River Road. And I am hoping that light shines from every child, from every teacher, and the congregation sees that light and can help us share that light within our community. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. reading from 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another with whatever gift of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I am a firm believer that God meets us through people. Over the past year and a half, a good portion of God's purpose for my life has been expressed through those around me and those I've encountered through Passport. Last summer was my first summer working for Passport through their mission-based DC program, which as a staffer, I ran a facilitated mission trip for youth groups every week. I realized after departing from my small team of three last summer that this organization had a special place in my heart. It was a place where I could feel at home and live into and further develop my theology. I also found that it is a place where I can live into my calling for ministry and mission work. So, last fall, I decided to apply again to be on another team for this past summer. Even though it was a long, tiresome summer of work, at the end of last summer, I felt that I needed to be doing this work again. This spring, I received an email that I had an opportunity to be a Bible study leader on the Passport Missions team, which consisted of serving on a team of 18 college students and young adults in the Danville, Virginia area, and then halfway through the summer moving to Greenville, South Carolina, for a total of 7 weeks of ministry. Our theme this summer was Fearless, where we learned and taught what it meant to stay awake, stand firm in your faith, be brave and strong, and to love always. So, knowing all of this, I quickly accepted the job because I felt that God was calling me to another summer of growth. What I didn't realize, though, was that it would be through the people that I felt God's purpose, not only for my own life, but for everyone who calls on the name of Christ, the purpose of loving always. The first person I saw God in this summer was a student named Ray. This summer threw a lot of challenges at me, ones that definitely I did not see coming. But Ray was in my Bible study 1 week in the last half of camp. The first night of Bible study, all of my campers came in and sat down, and I could tell that Ray had a disability of some sort. But that wasn't the challenging part of that night. It was how my campers responded to him. They weren't accepting him for who he was, and were making fun of him. Even though that first night was difficult to have my campers try to be welcoming, the rest of the week took a complete 180. Ray exemplified Christ to me more so than anyone had thus far during camp. He showed joy and a complete melting of boundaries because of the unconditional love that he shared to the other campers. What was even more amazing was seeing the other students responding with love and truly fearing less as we went about Bible study and worked on our mission sites. Through my experience with Ray and my campers that week, I learned that God was teaching me patience. Patience for discernment, patience for love, patience for God to step in. When serving as the hands and feet of Christ, sometimes God serves us. God opened me up to trusting in the Spirit and that love would eventually overcome that week. The second person where God met me and showed me love was Frank, Passport's partner for mission sites in Greenville, South Carolina. There was one instance where I felt immensely close to God's presence during mission sites, and it was a hot afternoon in Greenville, and my group had just finished painting and cleaning out a house that day for a woman named Miss Young. Everyone was hot and exhausted from working. We gathered in a circle to debrief for that day and to pray like we did at the end of every day of mission sites. Frank, the minister of missions at FBC Greenville, was there to check on us. After going around the circle and after all of the campers had said their highs and lows for that day, Frank shared his. He called out my name and in front of my campers told me that he was grateful for young leadership and my passion for mission work. Without my campers, myself, and my adults that week, he said that he would not be able to complete nearly as much work in the area of Nickeltown, a small community in Greenville that desperately needs people's help. God showed up in this moment and in many other conversations with Frank throughout my time in Greenville. God showed me that I am still called to ministry, in particular to minister with youth through mission work. This space of serving with students also showed the campers that they were truly being the hands and feet of Christ through their work. Through loving always and serving for Christ, Frank showed me that we can be shown our calling for continuing God's work in the world of fearing less and loving more in the most unexpected places and instances. The final person that I saw God in this summer was Lauren, my mission project coordinator on my team. When you are leading a mission site as a Bible study leader, having Lauren as your organizer, your planner, and a friend was such a blessing. I saw Christ through her grace-filled service and constant affirmation of others and myself. While I was serving youth and mission sites every day of camp, Lauren was serving me by being behind the scenes and saying things like, "You're a rock star," on a daily basis, and just being the calming presence of Christ amidst the chaos that camp can be. I can think of one instance at the beginning of the summer where I especially saw Christ when I talked with her. It was my first week of camp, and I had completely forgotten to do some of my responsibilities on my mission site. I came back to campus and checked in with her just as we did every day after our mission sites, and I started sobbing, feeling completely inadequate and incapable of doing my job. But Lauren didn't yell at me or tell me what I was doing wrong. She just hugged me and let my tears fall. She told me that I was doing a great job and that everything would be okay. That's just one instance of many that she comforted me in times where I felt small and not enough. Through her, I learned to be open to rely on others because we can't serve by ourselves. We need others to help us love always. We need others to remind us that we are not alone in being the hands and feet of Jesus, even when it gets difficult and messy. Lauren showed me that serving is not done alone. In fact, it should be done with others in the same purpose of loving always. Through these people and so many more that I encountered this summer, I gained a deeper understanding of mission work and serving. Mission work is about serving with an open heart and with other people, with patience and entrusting God, breaking all boundaries, accepting help and affirmation from others, and most importantly, all of this is done with love. I think Passport's mission statement shows the power and purpose of serving in this way. It reads as follows: "Do missions differently. As the hands and feet of Jesus, be love in action. Heal and be healed. Thoughtfully serve in the context of community, making earth as it is in heaven." This statement holds so much power, but also encouragement. It's a beautiful way to describe what, how, and why of what we do when we serve. Just like when we learned with our campers this summer on how to be fearless, God calls each and every one of us to fear less and love more through serving. God showed me through these people that serving and doing the work of Christ creates a space where boundaries are shattered and we are able to love always, to love in the way as Jesus did when he approached the woman at the well. Amen.
A reading from Luke 6, verses 27-38. "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you will give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You have an opportunity to do something a little unusual, and that is in corporate worship at River Road to sing two children's songs. This song and benediction are among the things that the children learned in Bible school this summer. I'm going to play a melody so you can become familiar and join in.
Hello. So this summer, I was fortunate to be a part of the Passport Choices team in Greensboro, North Carolina. And one of the first things I did as a program assistant is introduce myself to the adults. So I'm going to do that right now. I'm Meg Rooney. I'm a rising sophomore at James Madison University. Go Dukes. My major is Justice Studies with a concentration in global justice with minors in writing and honors. So, as I said, this summer I was called to the Passport Choices team in Greensboro, but this calling wasn't truly realized until after I had gone back home. Oftentimes, the moments that I've been called to somewhere or something life-changing, such as JMU or Passport, I don't realize it until weeks or months later. I don't realize that the impulsive decision I once made was actually God pushing me towards that place. Applying to Passport, for example, was completely last minute and honestly an afterthought. I didn't want to apply at first because I thought it was more of best turf. I'm not going into ministry. I love ministry. I'm just not, that's not my, what I want to do. But I didn't want to intrude, like I said, but randomly one day I had that gut feeling. I was like, I'm just going to apply. I need a summer job. I'm broke.
So I just decided to send that application in. And even after receiving my job offer, I hadn't really seen it as a calling or that I'd been placed there for a purpose. I was disappointed that I didn't receive the position of a Bible study leader like my sister, or a position on the mission-based team in DC that Beth did last year. As training week began to get closer, I became extremely anxious about what could happen this summer. I started not wanting to go at all, as I was fearful of not being enough and failing in my role. My depression and anxiety that I've been dealing with this past semester seemed to intensify. I had a lot of self-hatred and a lot of sadness that I couldn't get out of. Honestly, I didn't like who I was, and I felt that I would never stand out or be good enough for anyone. But when I arrived at camp, I was greeted immediately with open arms by every single person. One of the first things our coordinator, David Burrows, said was that we were each there for a reason, for a purpose. And I immediately started feeling God's presence within me. As I was learning the ropes to Passport and my job specifically, which is a completely brand new job, formerly known as the summer staff intern, but my job entailed completely setting up the camp store every day. I ran celebrations, which is a big party in the morning that we dance around, sing silly songs, and just do a lot of fun things to get everyone excited for the day. I help prepare lunches throughout the day for the choices, which are just kind of classes of your passions or interests. And I was basically just helping out the program staff with whatever needed to be done. But as this was all happening, I was finding my place in my role. I felt my confidence grow with the support of my team. I thought that I was just doing my job, but they saw so much more in me and my potential, specifically with my attitude and hard work, which I thought was really funny because I don't attribute my hard work to myself, I attribute it to River Road. I think a lot of the mission tours, especially with Chester Phelps, I just really gained a lot of respect for him, and just that you do the work until it's done and you do it the right way, and you're just gonna work from 9 to 5 and that's how it is. So might as well bless the people with a great job done because they're gonna have it after you. I thought I was just doing my job, but they saw a lot more than me than I had realized. My team provided me with words of affirmation, allowing me to gain the self-love that I deserve and have been lacking for so long. This summer, Jesus provided me an opportunity to grow into a better version of myself. I feel like a completely different person than I was a month ago, and I'm one that is one that's happy to be Meg. God created me as a servant leader who is smart, strong, capable, compassionate, ambitious, hardworking, willing, and someone worthy of love. Through these wonderful people, I saw myself how God sees me. And how amazing is it to fully know and receive the love that God has been giving to me this whole time? I really can't wait to see how I will continue to use the gifts God has graciously given me in my future with Passport and beyond. God is calling me to something so much bigger than myself, and I know that wherever I end up, it will be exactly where I need to be, whether in the nonprofit field or at law school or, you know, maybe back to education. We're not really sure yet. But I do feel like I'm being called to maybe working with Passport longer than just a summer job. I'm just really happy to be where I am and who I am, and I'll never be able to thank God enough for revealing that to me this summer. And if you are considering applying to work for Passport or attending Passport as a youth or adult chaperone, please do not hesitate to talk to me. God is so present at Passport, and it is constantly He is constantly moving through each and every one of us every single day there. By the end of the week or summer, the lifelong friendships you will make are so genuine and so full of love. I cannot stress enough how grateful I am to be a small part of this wonderful organization that David Burrows started more than 20 years ago. I'm so grateful to be serving God through an organization that truly empowers students to have fresh encounters with God, embraces community, and extends grace to the world. Thank you and amen.
And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
We have been blessed tonight by three incredible stories, by three incredible ministers. And I believe it was David Breckenridge, on either the first or second Wednesday we had Vespers, who said, it was one of his mentors in ministry, who said, when someone else tells you their story, you ought to take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. And I have felt that tonight, and I have felt that every week of this season of Vesper services, as we have heard from some of the wonderful stories among us. And if I'm thinking clearly about it, I'm seeing a certain thread that is running through the stories that have been shared. I like to say that I began and ended my educational career in the Presbyterian Church. You know, I graduated with a doctoral degree from Louisville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, but I began my educational career at Bon Air Presbyterian Church in their preschool. And so I sort of had that bookend. And my Presbyterian friends talk about the serendipitous nature of God. I love that idea that circumstances sometimes aren't just random. Sometimes persons have been placed in our midst by God. And sometimes we are to see and to hear face and voice of God. Sometimes through that audible voice, but sometimes through the voice of the person right in front of you. And I'm grateful for the testimony of you three ladies tonight, and for everyone's testimony throughout this series, as we have seen how God has been present at each step of our journeys. Maybe something didn't turn out the way we had hoped it would, but it was good nonetheless. And I've been blessed in that hearing, and I want to say thank you on behalf of this church. Shall we pray together? Holy and eternal God, we are grateful for this hour of worship. Yes, we know you are with us all the time, but whenever we gather in this place, we feel you especially close. We are thankful that you love us enough to call us your children. And we pray that we will come to understand the great truth you have given us. That this world, that other people will know that we follow you when we have love for each other. That truth stops us in our tracks every single time. This world will know that we follow you not by how often we attend church, not by how eloquent our prayers are, not by how highbrow our theology is. They will know we follow you when we love. Some among us perhaps have forgotten the truth of that command. Our nation, O God, is in mourning. We continue to grieve the recent multiple mass shootings in various parts of our nation recently. It appears we've forgotten how to love. Fueled by hatred, racism, bitterness of heart, easy access to guns, these killers have wreaked such havoc upon families, communities, nations, this world, even causing, we suspect, your own heart to break. When will we learn, O God? When will we learn what makes for peace? When will we quit throwing up our hands saying nothing can be done? When will we actually do something? Inspire within us, we pray, the will and the wisdom to act swiftly that we might preserve life. Great God of love, we also pray for those closer to home, within our own church family, who are on our own prayer lists. We ask that you would grant your presence and safety of travel to the River Road Choir as they are on spiritual pilgrimage in Western England. May they know we love them, that we miss them, that we are praying for them. We also lift up our prayers for Frank and Betty Schwall, for Roy Terry, for Sandra Trent, for Pat Schools, for Laurel Carey, for David Breckenridge's mother, who was taken back to the hospital today. Grant to these persons and to their families a deep and abiding sense of your presence and of our love. May they know that in this time of trial, they are not alone. God, we pray that you would empower us to truly love one another as you love us. And in doing so, may we imitate your great example to do good to those who hurt us, to turn the other cheek, to serve rather than be served, to seek peace rather than war, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. When we fail at these tasks, forgive us, O God, and set us right again. All this we pray in your name. Amen. As you are with us in this sanctuary, be with us in this world. And as you lead us in this world, may we return bearing witness in this sanctuary. Amen.